it's your girl Tamika.
It's your boy E-Rock Nim.
Listen, we keep it real.
We keep it raw.
We keep it uncut.
All day.
We are
Marriage Takeover.
We help couples in crisis win in their marriage by identifying their triggers and breaking generational cycles.
Boom.
So we want to welcome you to our podcast.
Welcome into this place.
Welcome.
Come on here.
Okay.
We'll stop.
That ain't what we can do. All right. So listen. Y'all, we are on season six. Welcome to season six. We are so excited about it. We cannot believe it's been six
seasons. Oh my God.
I remember when
yes.
we first started and we were like, should we do it? Should we not do it? What's
right.
going on? And I think we started out with like Facebook Live and then it transitioned
just,
into
man,
the
just,
podcast.
And
so
it's just boom.
Right.
And
so
we're here.
We want to thank you all so much for sticking with us for all six seasons, for just being with us, supporting us, praying for us, and just sticking here with us.
Yeah.
So if you are new to the platform and you're like, season six, I just found out about you guys.
We gotta go back to all the seasons.
Welcome. We are so excited to have you here. Make sure that you share, subscribe, and like. Like, share, subscribe.
And like.
Hey, all that, great, hey, all that great stuff.
Also, hey, check out, also join our Facebook group on Facebook, Marriage Takeover, Body of One. So, hey, yeah, we are so excited here because the guest that we have here is just so, it's awesome.
We're going to go ahead and start off with prayer first.
Oh, yeah, my bad. I apologize, y'all. Yes. I'm ready to dive in.
Ready
so let's
dive
pray.
In.
Everybody lift your hands. Father, we thank you now, God. We give you glory, honor, and praise because you're so awesome in everything that you do.
Yes, Lord.
And so, Father, you already know, God, who stands in need to hear a word from you, oh God. Father, you already know the heart that needs to be encouraged, oh God. And Father, you know the heart that needs to be reminded. So God, I pray now in the name of Jesus, God, that you take control of every
yes.
word that is spoken here today, oh God. Father, because as we trust you, Lord, God, that we should be able to trust our spouse, oh God. So God, help us, oh God, even as we begin to go through on this podcast and indulge such a great conversation, Lord God. God, continue, oh God, to let your will be done, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus.
Yes,
God, continue to bless our guests, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Continue to let your anointing flow throughout this place, oh God, in the
yes,
name of Jesus. And Father, we thank
Jesus.
You now, God, we give you glory. We give you honor and praise. Father, we say this prayer in your daughter's son, Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Listen, I need to make sure that we are all set up like we're supposed to be set up on today. And
did you did
so we are good. We're good. No, not at all.
Oh, okay.
So today we have such a great treat for you.
Yes, we do. A treat.
We are talking about trust this month.
Trust.
And we have with us Bishop Avon. And his wife, Katrina Lynch.
The bishop. And the lady.
So the bishop he's our spiritual father. We've known him for quite some time, and we're excited to have him and his wife here on the show with us on today. Bishop Avon accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior May 27th, 1968.
Woo! Ain't telling his age, though.
In West Central Louisiana. Listen, we weren't even born yet. But we thank God for the wisdom and the grace that you all were here as the wisdom is sprinkled and poured over. You'll appreciate that as well. He received his minister's license April 1969, and then he received ordination in June of 1980, pastored his first congregation in September of 1981, and then he was consecrated as bishop in April 2014.
Yeah.
Him and his wife have been married now for 16 years. We are so happy to have them here. So would you all welcome the Bishop Avon Lynch and his wife Katrina Lynch. And let's go ahead and dive in and dig in.
Woo!
Welcome. We are so excited to
welcome.
Have you all here.
We are happy. Yes.
Welcome. We are talking about trust all this month long, and one of the things that I like to be able to start off with, number one, is defining what trust is, right? And then I'm going to open the floor up to you all. As a noun, it's a firm belief in the reliability, the truth, and the ability of or the strength of someone or something. And then as a verb, which is what I like, because the verb is that action word. The verb is the action thing, is to believe in the reliability, the truth, ability, or strength of someone or something. And so I know that within trust that it is a necessary ingredient when you're building and having a maintained and a healthy marriage. So trusting one another is one of the most important elements of a relationship, and it's a crucial element of any lifetime commitment, really. And we know that marriage is a lifetime commitment, and without the trust and the quality of your relationship will absolutely deteriorate. If you deteriorate, I don't know why I can't talk today. It will absolutely deteriorate if you do not have or establish a level of trust. So what, in your words and in your thoughts, like what is most important about trust in a marriage?
Go ahead.
Well, you go, baby. You go.
I think that trust is the foundation of a marriage.
Yeah.
If you don't have trust, then and I think that with the foundation is it's laid in Christ. We trust in Christ that He's the one that's going to especially if you're both Christians. But I truly believe that Christ is the foundation, and you have to have the trust that He puts into it. So scripture says in Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. I think that He has to be that foundation. He has to be what we truly trust in, not necessarily our spouse.
That's good.
Oh wow, that's awesome.
That's good.
Because if we look at it, I don't know, this just came to me just now. I was thinking about it. She was talking about the you know, we hear the tales of the three little pigs, and you have the first little pig had a house of straw. Then the next one had a house of sticks. But each one of those, the wolf was able to come and blow those houses down. Mm-hmm. But the third little pig built his house out of bricks. And that meant that was more effort put in that, more thought put into it. And wow, as a result of that, the bricks were stronger, and the wolf could not blow that house down. And likewise with relationships, as she was saying about trust, and one thing she made a point of is trust in Christ first and not our spouse.
Mm-hmm.
Too often in our day and age in this society, God is the last person that we put trust in. We put trust in our significant other, and first, and the only time we start bringing God into the deal, and I'm talking about, this is not in every case, but for the most part, I'm seeing more and more of this, that we bring God into the mix when things start going wrong and we're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't bring God into the mix first to establish that trust.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is to start a relationship, you first, you know, meet each other. You start sharing with one another different things about yourself that might not be apparent just from sight, just from appearance. So you start being transparent to them in a way that others don't see. So therefore, you start sharing certain things that you have covered from everybody else, but you uncover to each other, and you become, as my wife just said, you become vulnerable to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And to the degree of your love for each other will be the degree of trust, but also to the degree of trust will determine how much love you really have for each other. They're tied to each other. You can have some trust without love, but you can't have true love without some trust.
Wow.
So wow. I want to ride on that for a little bit. How is it that we can have true love, that we cannot have true love without trust, but we can have trust without love?
Because we trust people. We trust the government, but we don't necessarily love the government. We trust we don't necessarily love our jobs. We trust the folks on our jobs, but we don't necessarily love them. But when you love someone or something, then you put a certain amount of trust in that. Because you was talking about the definition of trust, there you count them as being reliable. You can rely upon them. You can depend upon them, and so you can lean upon them and know that there's a, as my wife was saying earlier, trust being a foundational thing. Mm-hmm. You can build build upon that foundation. But if that foundation is not there, you can't. But so love is something that comes in as a blossoming of the trust. The trust is first the seed, and then the love blossoms from that seed.
So let me ask this question, right? Because we come in contact with lots of couples, and a lot of the triggers and a lot of their pain points is trust. So either it was because, you know, infidelity, because I honestly believe that, too, it also triggers from their own trust issues from their childhood. So it's a constant trigger that they haven't been healed from. But what do I want to ask? Number one, can a marriage last without trust?
No.
And then number two, how can you develop that trust after it's been broken and violated?
Hold on, wait a minute. If you can expound a little bit for me when you said that a marriage can't last without trust. If you just, I mean, you know, I understand the no, but just for that one that's listening that think that, oh, we can make it without us trusting each other. Can you just elaborate a little bit on that for me?
I mean, to be honest, really, we can't say that a marriage can't last without trust, because I know that there are marriages that have, gone on for years without, a true foundation, because of certain circumstances. Like, I know of people who have stayed in a marriage and there's been a lack of trust, and there's been a lack of support, or, for whatever reasons, but they have lasted, but they are not good marriages, I guess I should say.
When I said no, what I was meaning is, what I was going to say is, what do you define as a marriage? Marriage, most of us think about marriage, we think about good marriages.
Yeah.
And all. So in that case, if a true marriage is a good marriage, then it's no. But if we're talking about, can people stay together, live together, stay in the same household, carry the same, cohabitate together, or they become roommates and stuff, rather than soulmates, then it will last. There are people that will hang it out because they don't want to be the first one to be accused of breaking it up and leaving. They just hang in there, and then they get to a point to where they got nowhere else to go.
So they
kind of look at it. Well, I'm stuck. I'm stuck. So it's too late to go anywhere else. So here we are. We'll just ride it out. But is that really a true marriage? Biblically speaking, and what true marriage really is, it's not.
So it's just a matter of, I think, understanding as to really what marriage is.
That's exactly
it. You know, so like when you ask about marriage, there are some people that look at it as like, okay, we're still together. You know, we've been together 50 years or whatever. But really, do they have a true marriage?
Right. And Dad, I know, Bishop. I know that,
Father.
I know.
Mother.
You mentioned, and it's been some time ago, but we do have the privilege of being able to sit and to eat from you. And I thank God for you and your wisdom and just how God has just imparted his word and his Holy Spirit within you. You mentioned, since we're talking about marriage, you mentioned some time ago just about marriage and what marriage truly is and what it isn't. Do you remember that conversation that we had and how many people think that they are married and that they're in a marriage, but really if God has not consecrated the marriage, and if he, you know, it says when a man finds a wife, and oftentimes, especially in today's culture, we find that there are more women seeking after the men than there are the men seeking after the women. And if we were to truly be honest, and sometimes we get married over lust, sometimes we get married, you know, because of a certain situation or circumstance, and then we come together in a holy matrimony asking God to bless it and to breathe over it. When God didn't put that together, we put that together. Do you remember that conversation? Could you expound on that just a little bit, just to help the audience understand what marriage is and how we can kind of grow from that to start building that foundation of that trust?
Well, I don't remember fully the conversation, but I you know, when you brought this up, I am remembering about what the scripture is saying about how marriage is supposed to be. When Jesus picks up the question, in Matthew, they're asking him a question. They come to him and they say, is it, first of all, they was asking about divorce. They said, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for any cause? Now, a lot of people will run to that and use that as a, what Jesus, his answer, they use that to say, no divorce. You're not supposed, because if you get a divorce and you're causing adultery and all this stuff and it's wrong, but they're not really following in context what Jesus was saying, because they asked the question, is it lawful? Is it okay? Is it permitted? They asked, is it lawful? Which meant, according to the law, can you find in the law where divorce is permitted? And Jesus let them know from the beginning, there was no divorce. Because from the beginning, who put them together?
God did.
And so he makes this statement. He said, therefore, what God has put together, let no man put asunder. So what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. And that still stands. When God joins someone together, you know, there is no divorce. Adam and Eve lost everything, but they didn't get a divorce. They still kept each other.
Come on.
God put them together. And so in this society, in this climate, as you were saying earlier about our society being as it is, you know, a lot of it is motivated by lust, a lot of basically by what the eyes see. The same thing that got us in trouble in the first place, when Eve looked at the fruit and saw that it was good for food and something to be desired and all. That's how the majority of marriages come about. It's not from seeking God and asking him for that mate, but it's a deal of us picking out what we wanting, or going shopping and then bringing it before God and asking God to accept it.
That's good.
So that's what gets us in trouble, because we have a lot of things that we put, like you said, we put together, and then we expect God to keep it going. Even though it's like putting a square peg in a round hole, but we still want God to fix it and keep it going and stuff.
Right. It's just like going to him last. You know, in a situation, we put ourselves there, and now we ask him to bless it and to breathe over it. And he like, I was the one. And you probably had warning after warning after warning. Don't marry him. Don't marry her. and you still went ahead and moved forward. So thank you so much for that, because we just married a couple, and I was having through our premarital coaching that we do, we meet with us the bride and we meet with the groom separately right before they go ahead and they get married. And she mentioned something to me that she was judged because she was getting remarried and her ex-husband was not dead yet. And so I think with you even saying and expounding on that scripture, that you just set so many people free, because there are so many people in the church who will judge you for getting divorced, who will judge you from starting over again, who will judge you. Right. And what I want to submit to those people is to stop judging.
Listen.
Because you need to make sure that you understand what God is doing, what God is saying, and that there's no condemnation.
Right.
Over those. And so it's important for people to know that and not to be able to walk in that fear, not to walk into that really the condemnation that other people have over their lives.
It's because, you know, just
in religion.
Yeah. And based off of, and you know, that we about to be having some show no fun or not, because even when the Pharisees asked Christ that, they was just trying to pretty much get him caught up.
Right.
Yes.
Because they always wanted to challenge him to the law. And the sad part is, it's the same thing that happens today.
Yes.
Just like she said, why are you judging according to the law?
Right.
If you trust the God that you say you love, then you would know that there is grace.
And not only that, but there was great. The grace was amongst them. They had no idea that grace was amongst them, yet they were still trying to judge him and hold him to the law versus appreciating the relationship that he had with God and appreciating that he was really the representation of the presence walking on the earth. And I think we miss that when it comes to being in the church, being in the body of Christ, being like his disciples truly here on earth now today. We miss that because we're so used to, I'm learning that when people are so judgmental, it's because they're hiding something
within them,
that they don't want to expose.
And the other thing is because it was they were given the hard road to hoe.
Mm.
And they couldn't do what they want to do. So now they don't want anybody else to be free because they weren't allowed to be free. And then when Jesus told them that and made that statement to them about marriage. Now notice this, he dealt with, they asked him about the, was it lawful? And he dealt with the law. He said this, that if you don't put them away except it be for fornication. Now, he used that term fornication. He didn't say except it be for adultery.
Come on.
Fornication. Now, fornication is a sexual relationship between two unmarried people. Now, adultery enters in when one is married.
Mm-hmm.
But he said fornication, which if we go back to the law shows that if you got married and you found out that your wife that you just married, if she was not a virgin, that meant that she had committed fornication. You were allowed at that point to divorce her under the law.
Under the law.
Because the marriage was not consummated. It was not classified as being legit.
Right.
Under the law. So Jesus was dealing with the law when he said, except to be for fornication. But then what the religious folks in the church, and I have to deal with the church because the Pharisees don't apply to us anymore, but the church religious folks, the religious folks, they come in and they try to apply that to the church. So they brought it into the church, meaning that fornication meant everything. Not according to the law. Go back to the law. According to the law, adultery was when a married woman had sexual relations with anyone other than her husband.
Mm-hmm.
Adultery was not even assigned to the man unless he was dealing with someone else's wife.
Right.
He could go out and have as many women as he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Under the law.
Yeah. Under the law.
Yeah. Under the law. Right, because they had all the concubines and all the...
But if the woman who was married, if she had relations outside of the marriage, then it was called adultery. The other thing is that when they used to say, well, you know, once you're married to that person forever. So if you divorce and get remarried, then you've got two spouses. Well, if we go to the fourth chapter of John, the Gospel of John, when Jesus is dealing with the woman by the well, and he says to her, go get your husband.
Uh-huh.
She says, I don't have a husband. And Jesus said this, you have rightly said in right. You do not have a husband, because you have been, have, that's past tense. You have been married, you have had five husbands, mm-hmm. and the one you're with is not your own. Now, this was a perfect opportunity for Jesus to condemn her and say, you got five husbands.
Hmm.
But instead of saying you have five husbands, he said you have had, that's past tense, five husbands. And the one you with is not your own. And he said, you rightly said that you don't have a husband. Mm-hmm. So, and then when they asked Jesus, the Pharisees asked him, say, well, what about Moses? How come he told us to give a bill of divorcement? Jesus said there was basically, it was not a commandment. If you look at the law never commands you to have divorce. But he said it was permitted. Well, why was it permitted? It was regulated. Because it was something that was already in force, even back with Abraham and Hagar.
Hagar,
so to speak, divorced Hagar.
Yep.
when you look at the word, and this is what I've gotten into, a lot of people didn't want to hear any more from me because they asked the question. I gave them the scriptures. I don't give them opinions. I don't give them religious doctrine. I give them the word. And if it's in the word, that's what I'm going to stand on. If it's not in the word, I'm not going to support your religious doctrine.
Right. That's why we love you, Dad. We appreciate you. Yes, indeed.
Wow. You just got fundamental marriage 101 right here, right now. Oh my goodness. So, but
So we do have to go to a commercial.
Oh, yeah. We'll be right back.
And we are back.
So we are back, Slim.
If you missed that first segment in that first half, I want to tell you, make sure that you go back and you listen to that first half. We are with Bishop Avon and his wonderful wife, Katrina Lynch. And we are having a conversation about trust, about marriage, about what the scriptures say about marriage and how it's unfolding. And so we want to welcome you back to second half.
Hey, hey. What? Listen, what? You know, just trying to jump back in there.
You forgot.
I forgot my question. Man, I tell you, them commercial breaks sometimes. But hey, so when you're talking about from when you begin to look at all of that, so yeah, when you look at the baggage that some people bring into their marriage, whether it's from the childbirth, from work, from wherever the case may be, in trying to establish that trust in their spouse. Because when you look at it, sometimes we struggle with trusting our spouse because we struggle with our faith in God, with trusting God.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
And so it's like, how do you help our God or whatever the case may be, someone to get to that place to where they can be able to trust, to trust in their spouse?
Well, like my wife said earlier, when she was talking about trust, and she put about trust in the Lord and all. So the reason that a lot of us can't trust each other is back to what she said. We don't trust God because we don't trust God to know enough about our needs, enough about what we even desire, what's going to actually make us happy. We don't trust him enough to seek his guidance or seek his blessing. And a lot of that comes from what we've been actually taught about him. We have a warped image of God, who he is, because we have set him up to be someone who basically don't want us to have fun, don't want us to enjoy life. He just wants us to be following rules and regulations and that's it. No feelings, no emotions, no joys, anything like that. That's not the God of creation. The God of creation is the one that gave us pleasure, gave us desires, gave us joy, gives us peace, gives us all those things that we hold dear. He's the one that has given those to us. Blessed us.
We need to trust him. He knows us better than we know ourselves.
Yes.
He knows our spouse better than, better than we know our spouse. So when there's a situation that from past experience and you see that they are struggling with that, and even if you talk to them and it seems to make no difference, then we need to trust that God is going to deal with that because of, Christ in that person.
Mm-hmm.
If they have a firm foundation, they're true believers in Christ, and that's why you're with them to begin with, knowing that they have that relationship, mm-hmm. that they are going to be submissive to the Holy Spirit, and we just have to trust God to work on that, because we've dealt with that in our own relationship. There's things that will, be triggered by past experiences, and even if you we've expressed to each other about it, and sometimes it's easy to get on our guard about it. Yes. But we just have to go back to the Lord and say, Lord, you know better than I do, and you're going to have to deal with this situation and, deal with their hearts, because we want to be able to build on our relationship. Yes. I want to be able to build on my relationship with my husband, and I'm going to trust God to open his heart and to work on him and, to work on me in the areas that I need work on. So here again, it's just building on that, and I think a lot of it has to do with faith too. It's not just, to me, it's like that all goes hand in hand, having that faith and having that trust and mostly having it in the Lord, in Christ, not in the person.
There was a situation that happened this was kind of a game changer for me, because it had never happened to me before. Before we got married, there was a situation. We got into a disagreement about something, and we were ready to go our separate ways and just say, okay, just forget this.
Yeah, whatever. I told him not to let the door hit him in the bed on the way out. Yes,
and I was not going to allow the door to hit me on the But she said something to me. She said, I will never intentionally hurt you.
Wow.
And it was just funny. Now that sounds like a simple statement, but it meant so much to me, because no one had ever said that to me.
Ooh.
Ever. No one had ever said to me, I would never intentionally hurt you.
Well, when you truly love someone, in through the good and the bad, you need to understand that when someone is trying to express to you, and we've talked about this before, is that we're very different.
Yes.
Men and women are very different beings.
Thank the Lord.
And yes, thank you.
But because
we are different, we are uniquely made. It's hard to communicate. But we have to understand that this person, you know that they love you.
Yes.
And they have shown you that. They have expressed that to you. And here they are trying to tell you something. And sometimes the words don't come out right. It's hard to express, to each other. But what we need to remember is that this person loves you. So when they're trying to say something to you, they are not doing it with the intent of hurting you. Right. That we need to try to understand where they're coming from. And we're not, we shouldn't take it as, you know, they're trying to hit us or knock us down or, you know, we need to try to understand exactly where they're coming from. The fact that they're just trying to express themselves to you and it may not come out right, but that they love you. So we have to remember that basis and have trusting and knowing that God is in this person and they are not intentionally trying to hurt you.
And that's a very important tool to use when those situations come up at where you might be hurt by mm-hmm. your spouse or you might hurt your spouse, is to ask the question, would they do this intentionally?
Right.
And if the answer is no, because you know that they love you, then that takes the sting out. It's like this. If my wife walks by and accidentally steps on my toe, my little toe, and it hurts. She accidentally did that. Did she do that intentionally or not?
She made it. No.
If she came by and she stomped my little toe, that's intentional.
Right.
And stumbled right. across it and hit my toe. Now the pain is still there, whether she stomped it or whether she just unintentionally stomped it. But the difference is this: because I knew that it was not intentional, I can bear it better.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Than if I knew it was intentional.
Right.
And so likewise, when it comes to trust, mm-hmm. if I knew something happened where my spouse got caught in a situation, or even it could be a compromising situation, mm-hmm. but they got caught in a situation either by other people or even by the enemy or whatever, mm. then I have to take into consideration, wait a minute now, was this intentional? Would they intentionally do this?
Right.
Or not? If the answer is no, then that's where grace comes in. Mm-hmm. I should have grace to give to them.
Right.
And vice versa, because that lets us know that, number one, we are vulnerable. We have not arrived. Neither one of us have arrived. And so what is more important? The investment that we have made in our love for each other, or for one of us to be right all the time?
Well, here again, it's remembering, who are you really trusting here? If we're coming back to trust, it's not really about trusting, you know, because we're flesh.
Yes.
Trusting in Christ, you know, the firm foundation, you know, putting our trust in him and knowing that, you know, that he, first off, that he blessed me with you.
And he blessed me with you. And it comes back, that's exactly the key, is this: flesh will always
fail
at some point. Mm-hmm. Fail.
It will.
Mm-hmm.
There's no ifs, ands, buts. So you have a built-in obsolescence in flesh. Mm-hmm. It's built in. That's just where sin is there. Anywhere where sin is, you're gonna have a failure or a degradation.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
God never fails.
That's right.
So
right.
If
you put your trust in him, even when you fail, he is able to make things new.
Mm.
She was just talking about this song, in which I was thinking about the script, what scripture that song comes from. Some trust in chariots. So my trust is in the name of the Lord.
Yeah. Man. So, you know what? Before, I like that right there. Everybody that's watching and listening, listen, we're going to try this real quick. I would never intentionally hurt you.
Are we supposed to repeat that?
No, I'm saying, it's for me. I want everybody, if you feel, y'all saw that, so you just totally just dissed me.
No,
on that
I'm just, because you have to remember that it's audio, and if they aren't visually seeing us on the podcast.
It's all right. So what I'm going to tell how I feel, I'm going to look at your spouse and right? let them If you only if you mean it, look at your spouse and say, I would never intentionally hurt you.
I will never intentionally hurt you.
And give him a smack. I mean that thing. Did I ever say that?
I don't know.
I don't even know if I ever said
it's,
that one.
Yeah, I don't know. It's been there are a lot of things though that I want to unpack. Only because like it is everything that you said was good. It was great. One of the things that I think because we deal with couples on so many different levels, right? And so we've got the Bible-toting mamas, right, who go to church, who know church, know all of these scriptures, but they're really not living the life. Like their words and their lifestyle does not align with what they're saying.
My son say they fruit ain't fruiting.
Right, they fruit not fruiting. And then you have couples who are married to somebody who's not saved. And so then you have couples who, because they've been hurt and they haven't dealt with their ish, they haven't dealt with their triggers, they're still hurting. And so although they may say that they don't want to hurt their spouse or they will never intentionally hurt their spouse, the reality is hurt people hurt people.
And
so we're not condoning abuse at all. I want to make sure y'all know marriage takes over. I shouldn't have to say that, but I want to make sure that we put it
out there. So that we live in this day and time where we have to say that.
Right. So don't y'all come for us. But what I want is like, how do you unpack that? Because the reality is, and I like to say that everything that we do is a choice.
Right.
Trusting God is a choice. Having faith is a choice. Everything, when a couple comes or when a spouse comes and they said they can't trust their husband, I get that certain things have happened that maybe it will cause you to not believe or to believe that everything that they say is true. Right. But it's hard for me to understand how you can't trust them when you can sit in a chair that you've never made, a brand new chair that has never been, you know, you've never tested it before, that you could sit in it and trust that it will not break on you.
Yes.
So help us to unpack how, number one, the Bible told Bama should align with, you know, the lifestyle and their words to be able to really trust God, because that is a common core that people really don't trust God.
So, when she mentioned the Bible told Bama, I don't like to hit everybody like that, but as you already know, I mean, that's what it is.
Me, baby.
Hey, it's what it is.
I'm right there with on that.
But when you have those that are in ministry, and I have to call them titles, that's dealing with trust issues, or just issues, but we know we're dealing with trust. But it's like, hold on, because I had to ask my own self, I said, hold on, you reading the same Bible I'm reading, what are we doing here, what's missing? And so it's like, for those that are actually missing that God connection, because we know, like, listen, I'm sorry. I don't want to blow it up, but what she said.
That, like, boy, you said a lot. We said a lot.
We said a whole lot.
Right?
Hey, just jump in there. Just jump in there. We had the pool of Bethesda. We need to heal somebody.
Right.
I think that one of the things that we have to understand is that there are a lot of people that have been hurt in many different ways. And for us to be able to, I mean, I know for me personally, I have experienced a lot of hurt in my life, you know, especially as a young child and into my teenage years. And sometimes one of the things would like pop up and it would just kind of like almost, you know, something would trigger it and it would just kind of like a slap in the face. But I know that one thing for me as a firm believer in Christ and he lives in me, is that I have better things to do than to focus on my past.
Yes.
And so when I learned so much from my past and to be able to help people who've gone through the same situations and to talk to them is that we can't stay there. We cannot stay in the past. If we are going to be able to function in our true ministry and our what God has for us, especially as Christians, we cannot stay in the past. We have to walk in forgiveness. So that means forgiving those who hurt us and forgiving ourselves for the stupid that we've done in our lives.
Yes.
So, and then like, remembering that even if someone does not come to you and repent, that's okay because we are supposed to forgive no matter what. We are supposed to forgive just like Christ forgave us. And so we need to walk in forgiveness. I mean, and that's a every second of every minute of every hour of every day choice. To be able to walk in forgiveness. And so also, if there is someone that we need to repent to, then we need to repent to them. And whether they forgive you or not, it's on them because you've done what God has asked you to do. So instead of focusing on those things, we need to start filling ourselves up with the word and focusing on what God has for us and not have, you know, this downtime where we sit and think about, you know, all these things that happen. You know, we need to focus and trust that God is dealing with it and he's got a better path for us.
Exactly. And like Sis was saying earlier about, as a matter of fact, just a few moments ago about we can put trust in a chair that we never sat in before. We can go right there and sit down in a chair and expect that chair to hold us up. We don't know anything about the history of that chair. We don't know who made it. We don't know who put it there. We just go and see that chair and we sit down and expect it to hold us up. And yet, now that's an inanimate object, and yet we have it. It doesn't have feelings. It can't express itself. And yet we put more trust in that than we will in our brother or sister who happens to be our spouse. That we put more trust in that thing than we do them, even though they are expressing that they have feelings just like we have feelings. And I think sometimes with the trust issue, as she was saying about the past, a lot of our trust issues come from our past. Yeah. How we dealt with, and this is very significant, how we dealt with those issues. See, because some of us have not dealt with those issues yet. Right. We're still carrying those. Those are the things that we got hidden away, even from our spouses, mm-hmm. of those issues yeah. that we had in the past. And because of that, we have a problem trusting our spouses enough to be able to be transparent about that, because we don't want to be condemned. We don't want to be judged.
We don't
want to be hurt
yeah.
all over again. So we keep those packed away.
I've done that and for a long time.
We all have done that. And we are
right.
Dudes, there are certain situations we still do. We might not express. My wife says some things that she'll say, and I'm 100% with her on this, and that is, she said, there's some things that are better left unsaid.
Mm-hmm.
And that is true. Now, you got people that say, you know, you got to be transparent and tell everything. No, because everybody can't handle everything that's going to be expressed and manifested,
especially if it's the past,
and also especially if it's something that might involve them in a light that's not the best. Mm-hmm. And so that's where maturity comes in. Jesus said this to the disciples. He said, there are many things that I have to share with you, mm-hmm. but you can't bear them now.
That's right.
And so that shows a maturity. There was a lot of things that Jesus did not share with the apostles, even when he was with them. He shared with them later after the day of Pentecost. He revealed things to them. He didn't reveal about the Gentiles to them until he let that sheet down to Peter after the day of Pentecost. And so, because they couldn't bear it. And so there are some things that your spouse might not be able to bear. It doesn't mean that you are trying to be sneaky or trying to be untruthful or whatever. But something, this is why the glue that needs to be between you and your spouse has to be the Lord.
Yes.
We should not go into, let me show you something, if I can.
Yeah.
The relationship. If you look in the Godhead, you have the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're equal. All three are equal.
Mm-hmm.
And they operate as one being.
Mm-hmm.
They operate as God. But you have the distinct persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. However, that's the image of God. That's God's image. Mm-hmm. So how is that image reflected here on earth? It's reflected in the husband and the wife and in God being in the middle through the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. The same Spirit that is in the Godhead that carries out what the Father and Son has desired, that same Spirit should be in our relationships. Mm-hmm. So that if there's something that I need to express, but my wife might not be at that point to accept it, be in a receiving mood of it, or I might not be in a receiving mood of it, but I got to tell somebody rather than going and tell girlfriend or boyfriend about it, a buddy about it, which might turn around and come back to bite us.
We go to your DMs,
right?
And we express it. That many times I go to the Lord and say, Lord, this is what I'm dealing with here. How do you want me to proceed here? How do I deal with this? And then he does. He opens up the way. And sometimes he'll come right around through my wife and she'll say something to, one, let me know that it's time to talk about it. Or two, let me know that it's not an issue. And then we press ahead. And so there's some things that are really not, how can I say it? It's really not a part of us.
Mm.
It affects us, but it's not. And that's another distinction that we need to make, is what is really us and what is really not us. Because there are things that come into our minds, things that we feel that really is not a part of us. And only the Holy Spirit can separate that.
Well, we need to trust that the Lord knows timing, you know. That we are together for such a time as this, and that if there's something that you need to know or I need to know, we need to just trust the Lord that, you know, it'll be the right time. And we'll be able to talk about it or work it out or whatever, or even if it needs to be brought out. But here again, when I just trust God that, you know, he did the work in you and he's done the work in me. And that, I mean, the past is the past. And I like to leave the past in the past.
Yes.
Right. And I think, too, that it's, and we remind people all the time that it's a self journey.
Right.
That we can't be focused on our spouses, what our spouse needs to change, what our spouse needs to do, how they need to align. We really have to be focused on what God has for us in our life. And as we change, then God will continue to honor that sacrifice and honor that. And then our spouse will then change.
Mm-hmm.
And as we get ready to close, because we're almost time on our time, you all mentioned the last time we talked, you all mentioned something so beautifully about the couples, the husband and the wife, and the altar, and how we are the altars. Mm-hmm. Could you leave that with the couples on this evening or today, for just kind of about what the couples, what that is, and how when we go to the altar and now what that represents now as we are altars amongst each other.
As my wife said earlier about God, us trusting God, God being that bedrock or that foundation of where our trust should be. And if we truly trust him, then we can build from that in trusting each other. Well, if God is the one that we're going to trust, that means that he is the one that we have to interact with. Well, when we approach God, if we follow the pattern in the scriptures, when you approach God, you approach him with a sacrifice. Mm-hmm. We sacrifice to God, not to each other, but we sacrifice to God. However, the altar that we put that sacrifice to God on should be our spouse. In other words, I should sacrifice joy, peace, whatever it is that I'm going to be offering to God, I should sacrifice it on my wife. In other words, she should be the altar that I presented to God.
Come on.
I'm the altar that she presents her sacrifice to God. And when we do that, then it becomes it brings him, as she said, at the center. Mm-hmm. He is the one that's at the center, and our focus is on him. And as a result of that, when God ministers, if we're going to minister to God through our spouse, then God will minister back to us through our spouse. Because it's the same altar that we offer the sacrifice on will be the same soft altar that the blessing will come on.
Well, as believers, we want to please God. And pleasing God, we please our husband or we please our wife. Scripture is very clear about the husband is to what? Love his wife mm-hmm. as Christ loved the church.
Yes.
So we are supposed to be that example, and in loving our husbands, we are loving, you know, we do it according to the word. Through, you know, Christ is going to be at the center of that. And so we're going to be honoring God when we are, you know, honoring our husbands. And the same with husbands loving and honoring their wives. You're honoring God. If you're truly a believer, then you're going to strive to please Christ. And in that, you're going to, you know, please your wife and please your husband.
And I think where we run into the problem here in society, real quick, and that is that we overlook the fact that our relationship as husband and wife was tainted by sin. Mm-hmm. And the relationship between man and woman has been tainted by sin and degraded by sin in our society, in our world, as well as in our own beings. And the only way around that is through the grace mm-hmm. and truth and mercy of Christ, what he has done in redeeming us, because he's the only one that can truly bring true love, because the only love that really is sustaining and the only love that is really empowering is that love that is talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And that word there for love is agape, mm-hmm. which is the love that only God produces. Yeah. So that here we are again, we need to go to God to get that kind of love, because that love does not point fingers. That love does not accuse. That love does not seek its own. That love is always trying to bless the object of it. It's always looking out for what is best. So then if I look at my wife's body, or I look at her as being my body, and she looks at me as being her body, then if I take care of my body, meaning I'm taking care of her, and she takes care of her body, meaning she's taking care of me, then we're both taken care of and God is glorified.
Amen. Come on now.
That's good. That's good.
Come on.
That's good.
It was just on my heart that, you know, we're going to mess up. You know, each one of us is going to mess up. But when our spouse comes to us and they're repentant, which means they're, you know, they're going to try to change from whatever it is that they messed up on, restore them.
Yes.
You know, don't sit there and be mean and hateful. And, you know, we need to restore them. We need to, you know, because Christ restored us.
Yes.
You know, we need to restore them. So I just wanted to put that out there.
Yeah, don't pull out the seven labors of Hercules and say, okay, you can go ahead and restore you and whatever. Husband or wife, either one, but be quick to and do it quickly.
Yes.
Do it quickly. Paul says this, if a brother be overtaken in a fault,
yeah.
You that are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, remembering your own self, lest I also be tempted.
Yes.
So the same thing that you would like to happen to you if you fall short, which we all are going to do, show that same grace to them.
Yes.
I appreciate
your children
that.
Will learn from that.
Yeah.
Wow. That's so good.
That's awesome.
Before we close out, how can they find out more about you? How can they connect with you? And then you have another book that you're working on too. How can they get your book and then, you know when the next book is coming?
You guys just like to mess with me, don't you?
Listen, I'm going to tell you, I know they don't know, but yes, the bishop. Yes, he has already authored two books. One that I love so much, I want to say it had to be the first book that I read as I begin to get a little deeper in the gospel, I guess I'll say, called Gleaming from Genesis. And then the other book that came right after that is called The Beginning. And I mean, man, it's crazy. So, and the one that's getting ready to come out, I ain't gonna throw out no release dates. I ain't saying nothing, but my wife was saying, how can they get in contact, be able to reach you so that they can be blessed by these books?
Well, you can find us at Unique Ministries on Facebook and through New Life Ministries on Facebook or on YouTube.
Okay, great. Great, great. Well, thank you all so much for being here.
Thank you
for having us.
You are very welcome. Now, make sure that you all go out and you all connect with them on Facebook, connect with them on YouTube, Unique Ministries, and, stay tuned so that you can get a copy of that book as well.
Oh, yeah.
It definitely is going to bless you.
That it is.
Yes. And I want to say also that you all, the book that you all put out, Marriage Takeover.
Yeah.
That book, my wife and I both got copies, and I tell you,
that was amazing.
It was just awesome. I just love it. I mean, really, it blessed me. And anytime I get to see you all share this, it blesses me. Yeah. I just love this. Yeah. I'm a big fan of Marriage Takeover.
Wow.
God bless you guys.
Man.
Thank you. We have been persecuted by the church for that book cover. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's a good cover. That's awesome.
That's what we said too. Yes, indeed. Thank you so much. So make sure that, again, you connect with them.
Yes.
We want to make sure. Thank you so much for joining us on today. We so appreciate you guys.
Thank you.
Now, listen, I hope that you all enjoyed that podcast.
Oh,
it was such a beautiful treat. We so appreciate it. Bishop Avon and his wife Katrina for joining us on today. We want to just let you know that we just wrapped up a 5-day challenge for Renew My Marriage.
Yep.
It was phenomenal. We're getting ready to release the boot camp. But guess what? We want you to know that we just dropped. You've been asking.
Well, here it is.
And we're now delivering it. So we have finally our dates for our marriage retreat. And we're super excited about it. So the marriage retreat is going to be in Maryland. So we had to do the home front first. It's going to be February 24th through the 25th.
Yep.
Make sure that you get your tickets now.
Get them now.
We have the registration on our website.
Because they're moving fast.
MarriageTakeover.com. And you want to make sure that you get that early bird. The early bird is only going to be there for 30 days. And
that's why they're moving fast.
I'm not even sure how long it's been since it's been here today. So just make sure once early bird is done, early bird is done.
It's a wrap. Early bird, get to work.
You can register online, and then you can also go ahead and book your discounted room. We've negotiated with the hotel to make sure that we've gotten discounted rooms for you all. So make sure that you do that. We only got a small group of rooms booked. So once they are sold out,
they're gone.
So make sure that you get in. We want to make sure that you guys are in the building with us and you are in the room with us. And
Get in the building.
We can have a good time. So go ahead, book your room, get your tickets, and
go ahead, get your ticket, then book your room.
And we will see you in February.
Yes, most
live
definitely.
In color.
Hey, so make sure you continue to like, subscribe, share, join us on our Facebook group, follow us all things social media. Hey, we thank you all for joining us again on our on season 6. Podcast. So we thank you all for joining us.
Yeah, and stay connected. We have lots of information that's coming out about trust and how you can build it, what you can do, and what it looks like, all those great things. So make sure that you connect. I'm your girl, Tamika.
I'm your boy, E-Rock Nim.
Listen, this is Marriage Takeover. Sign it out.
Mahalo.